want to look at today is what I call sticky thoughts. And sticky thoughts are the kind of thoughts or feelings that you get and you really just can't get rid of them. Anyone know what that feels like?
Yes.
There we go, wrong side. So it's a bit like you might have a worry about your finances and you come to church and you try and focus on God, but you just can't get rid of it because it's like stuck in your head. Or you're wondering, does he or she really love you, accept you? And you don't know, and it's like a shadow with you, and it's just stuck there in your head, or maybe it's stuck in your heart. And so we all have sticky thoughts and sticky feelings. Maybe it's a temptation, like every man and woman in the world gets, and that temptation just keeps sticking to you. So it is as if I might look a bit of a sight now with all these things stuck on my head and my face, but I don't care, baby. I don't care what I look like. I want to get the point across. We bring thoughts and feelings with us that are not good.
Yeah.
I do. I think you do. And sometimes we need to know, how can I unstick them? How can I get rid of these thoughts that are not good? What does the Bible say about it? So today we're going to look at that, and I'm going to use a well-known Bible passage, but I want to look at it in a different angle. So we're going to look at Matthew 8, but I'm going to pray God speaks to you from his word and speaks into your situation. So can I ask you, would you mind, stand one more time. Put a hand on your head and a hand on your heart. Because I think every one of us has sticky thoughts and sticky feelings that are not good for us. We pray the word of God would shine like a light. And that if there is any darkness in our thoughts or in our emotions, that you would deliver us from them, even as we just sang a while ago. Deliver us from evil, Lord. Deliver us from that which would try and destroy us. And let us become the people we were always meant to be. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's take our seats, guys. We're going to go up to the Galilee, to the north of Israel, where Jesus had moved to. About 6 months ago, I was doing a word called Jesus' other home, or his second home. And we saw how he moved to a town called Capernaum. And this is where he based his ministry from. And a lot of the miracles that Jesus did were in this small area. It's there today as part of the state of Israel. You can visit it if you'd like to see it. But we read about this in Matthew 8 and some of the other Gospels. Let's go straight in. We're told Jesus got into a boat. He wanted to go to the other side. And his disciples followed him. It starts with trust. They trusted Jesus enough to get into the boat and to go on a journey with him. Can I suggest and submit to you that you and I trusted God enough to bring us this far? We're here today because we trusted him. So they are following Jesus on the journey, like your life, like my life. Jesus is going somewhere and we want to go with him. So they all get into the boat. But where is this? Is there anything I can do to help you understand where this is? Do you think there's any illustration I could put up on the screen to help you? What's that? Can't hear you? You want a map? Are you sure? Well, would you know? I just happen to have something on the screen. Do you want to see a map?
Yes.
Here you go now. Hey. If you're new here and you say, what a crazy bunch. This is an in-house joke. I love maps. I have a thing for maps. Michael loves C.S. Lewis, the Irish Christian writer. And Dara loves to sing a song. So this is the in-house joke. Anyway, here is a map. We are looking at the Sea of Galilee in northern Israel. Actually, it's a big lake more so than a sea. It is still there today. and the other side that Jesus was going to. He was going from Capernaum, right up in the northwest at the top, sailing across to the area of Gadara. And that is a journey of about 20 kilometers. It's about 2 hours sailing. And so they're sailing across there. Why is that important to know? Well, we're not going into it today, but Gadara was where a man who had a legion of demons, that's thousands of demons, his life was destroyed by the evil one. And he became known as the Gadarene demoniac. And that word Gadarene comes from Gadara. It's like, I'm a Corkonian because I come from Cork. That is the description. So Jesus and the disciples are sailing this 2 hour sailing journey. Remember, most of these guys are fishermen. They have worked this lake all their lives. They knew the lake. But in ancient Jewish culture, fishermen didn't swim. It wasn't a thing out there. And they were terrified of the deep water. And so when you read in the Psalms and so on about the terror of the deep, it actually comes from areas like the Sea of Galilee, where the fishermen were terrified of what was down there and what would happen there. So they set off and they trust in Jesus enough to follow him because they knew he was one they could trust. And as they're on their journey, like you and I are on our journey through life, we're told in verse 24, a bad storm blew in so that the boat was swamped with water. Even today, the weather people will tell us that storms can suddenly brew up on the Sea of Galilee, and they can be quite vicious storms. But the thing is, there was more than a natural storm going on here, because Jesus was going to set a man free across on the other side. And so we know that there was an evil force as well as this storm. Again, in your life and in my life, there can be natural storms, but sometimes those natural storms have a spiritual element to them. And it's like there is an evil attached to the attack in or the storm in our lives. So the storm brews up. I don't know how you feel in storms, but different people react in different ways. But as the storm is blowing, we read very simply that Jesus slept through it. It says that in verse 24. Recently, we had Storm Eoin. Anyone remember that one? And it was such a vicious storm, a lot of people a little further north were out of electricity for nearly a month. But I remember Storm Eoin, and I slept through it. I tend to be a deep sleeper, but my beloved wife Denise, who was at the earlier service, she didn't, because she's a light sleeper. The thing is here, this is a bit different. Jesus is sleeping through a storm, but we have to remember, in the boat, Jesus was wet. When I slept through the storm, I wasn't wet. I was nice and comfortable and dry and warm. And there was no wind blowing around my face, and there was no water coming into my ear and my eyes. And I wasn't being swayed around by a boat. But Jesus was wet in the boat. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Yes.
Remember, boats back then were fairly rough creations. It was just an open wooden boat. It wasn't a modern fiberglass yacht. Jesus couldn't go down under deck to his cabin. He was exposed to the elements. The most he had would have been a bit of sackcloth over him to try and keep him warm. But he was human as well as divine, and he was exhausted. And so he's there, and he's asleep, and he's wet, and yet he's still asleep while he's wet. He never woke up. I just want to prophesy to someone. You're struggling with sleep. Tonight, it's going to change. Tonight, God is going to give you a deep sleep. Sorry, I didn't do this at the earlier meeting, but I know it's for someone here. If that's you, would you stand wherever you are? I'm not going to call you up, but you got to own it. Just stand. That's it. Praise God. Could you guys lift up your hands where you stand? In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I pray, we pray, a deep sleep that comes from heaven will come into your mind, into your body, and above all into your soul tonight. May you sleep the sleep of the just tonight. And no matter what the storm is like, I pray, I prophesy, I declare, you'll sleep through it. And you'll wake up this Monday morning refreshed in body, in mind, and in soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Give him a round of applause. Took a bit of humility and courage to stand up. We need our sleep, and it's part of what God wants for us. And sometimes you just got to take authority over when the enemy tries to steal it from us. Back into the main narrative here. Jesus is in the boat. The storm is raging. We know that he's getting wet. In particular, his face would have been totally wet. Now, I'm a deep sleeper, but if my face is wet, if someone throws cold water on my face, I'm going to wake up. How about you? Anyone not wake up? God bless you. I want what you have. So there's cold water thrown on his face. He's soaking. He's been shaken around. It's windy. Jesus didn't stop getting wet, and you and I can't stop getting wet from the storms of life. There are regularly storms on the Sea of Galilee. It is symbolic of your life and my life. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean we don't have troubles. Could you say amen?
Amen.
The difference is that we have someone to carry us through the troubles. Hallelujah. How many people across this city have no God in their lives? Who do they turn to? Medication? There's a place for medication. But can I suggest he's the better one to turn to? And he will help us even more than that. So we can't stop getting wet from the storms of life, but we can stop waking up. And Jesus wasn't waking up. And waking up here means your peace being disturbed. So Jesus wasn't disturbed by the storm that was going on around him. There's a lesson here for you and for me. The storm is raging, but Jesus didn't wake up. Why? I love what Professor Frederick Bruce says. He was a Christian professor in the UK. He said the storm raged about this passage. The disciples panicked, but Jesus slept. His heart and mind were at peace, trusting in his heavenly Father. If everyone around you is panicking, it's almost contagious. And if you're in a situation where everyone where you work is panicking, or everyone in your neighborhood or your family or your circle of friends is panicking, if you really know God and you have your trust in him, you don't have to panic. You can be calm. He's got your back. He holds your future and my future. So Jesus kept sleeping, but the disciples were panicking. In fact, we read in verse 25, the disciples went and woke Jesus up saying, "We're going to die here." Now put yourself in their situation. These were experienced fishermen. They probably never saw a storm as bad as this before in their lives. They were fishing for decades, but this storm was vicious. Why? It wasn't just a bad storm. There was a demonic element to it. And sometimes in your life and my life, there's a demonic element to the storm we're going through. Hallelujah. We've got the blood of Jesus to overcome every storm, every attack that the enemy comes against us with. So they're convinced they're going to die. Can I suggest to someone here, you think you're going to die? Can I say to you, just prophetically, this is not your time. Whoever you are, Don't let the evil one steal your peace and get you to believe a lie.
Amen.
Have a bit of faith in God. Whoever you are, God has a lot of things to do in your life yet. You are not at the last chapter. God has many blessed things to do in your life. Father, I pray into that mind and that heart now. Give hope in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And give a revelation that you are the God of life.
Yes.
Come, Holy Spirit, and bring a confidence and a faith into this situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're going to die. You know what was going on here? They were believing a lie. Did they die? No, they didn't. They didn't die. But they really believed they were going to. I was reading a couple of reports over the last few years, and this is true of my own life, that about 90% of what we worry about never comes to pass. I've lived a while. And 9 out of 10 things that I got upset or worried about never happened. That's a lot of your life. That is stolen. That is many evenings, many sleepless nights, many weeks and months that are stolen. Your peace is stolen. The Bible says that the devil is the one who steals, who kills, and who destroys. It calls him the father of all lies. That's his native language. Oh, he can speak in English or Spanish or Polish or Filipino or German or whatever language you're having yourself, or Irish. He can speak in all those languages, but really his native language is lies, and he will lie to you and lie to me. And these disciples who were in the right place at the right time, maybe like you here today, you couldn't be in a better place, not this particular church, but just coming to church, being and giving your time for God today. You're in the right place, yet you and I could believe a lie in our lives. Why? Because we're human and we're broken. And sometimes the evil one knows how to get into our thinking. He's so crafty, so clever. I wonder, did the disciples remember this psalm, verse from the psalm, that they would have all learned as young boys? You, O Lord, rule the raging sea. And when the waves rise up, it's you who will still them. Now, back then, while most societies were illiterate, the Jewish culture was quite unusual. They put a huge emphasis on the boys learning how to read and write. So no matter how poor your family were, you would have learned to read and write. And the disciples, when they were young boys in the synagogue, would have learned so many of these verses from the book of Psalms off by heart. And so they knew the scripture. Can I encourage you, if you know any of the scripture, when you're in the storm, declare it. Declare it. Declare the word of God. You know what I do if I feel the enemy is getting on top of me? I just quote the scripture. Jesus quoted it. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. I'm not listening to that. I'm not listening to your lies. I choose to listen to the truth.
Amen.
And you know what? It works.
Yes.
Today, 45 years ago, as a teenager, I called out on the Lord. And how many people told me, it's just a phase. God is dead. The Bible is just a book of fairy tales. I'm here 45 years later to say I have lived a brilliant life over the last 45 years. And I'm going to live another 45 years. Hallelujah. And you know what? The book is true. The book is true. You can trust it. You can trust God. And if only they had remembered some of the scripture, they would have gone, this storm is vicious that I'm going through, but my God has my back. My God will bring me through. They go and they wait Jesus. Many of you know the story. And Jesus said to his disciples, why are you so afraid, O ye of little faith? Then he rose up and he rebuked the storm. So they wake him. He's soaking wet, but that wasn't bothering him. And so we read that he speaks to the disciples. What was the issue? Fear and a little bit of faith. Every heart here knows what fear is. Brothers and sisters, fight fear.
Yeah.
How do you fight it? With faith.
That's right.
With faith. Don't be of little faith. Let your faith grow. It's like a muscle. You've got to exercise. It's like a guy in the gym with the big muscles. You've got to exercise it for it to grow. Here's what I've been thinking of. Jesus corrected the men first, and only after that did he rebuke the storm. Now, if during a storm, the windows of your apartment or house blow in, and you're woken up, you're not going to have a chat with whoever else is in the house with you first. You're going to run and close those windows first because you don't want the wind and the wet and the debris and the rubbish blowing in the windows. You'll close all the windows first, then you'll talk to whoever's with you. But Jesus turns it upside down. Instead of rebuking the wind first, he talks to the men first. Now, I remember years ago, I remember the window blowing in. We had glass blow in many, many years ago in a storm. I didn't sit down and say, Denise, put on the kettle. Let's have an old chat here and talk about closing the window. No, I tried to block it up as fast as I could. But Jesus did the opposite. He talks to the people first before he rebukes the storm. Remember, the storm was demonic. There was something quite evil. And it was frightening when these big hairy fishermen who knew what it was to be in a storm were so terrified. Why did Jesus do that? Because the real storm is in people's minds and in people's hearts. The real storm isn't what's going outside of our lives. It's what's in there. And what's in here? What did David write in Psalm 23? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He was in a place of death, but he walked through it. He didn't stay there, he walked through it. Because it didn't get under his skin. But Jesus saw with these good men who were trying their best that they had a storm in their heads and in their hearts. That was the real storm. That's why he spoke to them first. He corrected them and he said, why are you so afraid? I think God is saying that to some of us here. He's challenging some of us here. Why are you so afraid? Don't you trust him? Is your faith that small? Because our God is powerful.
Amen.
Our God is almighty. The blood of Jesus covers you and it covers me if you love him. So brothers and sisters, that's why Jesus allowed the wet in his face and it didn't wake him up. That's why Jesus spoke to the men before he spoke to the storm. You see, an awful lot of the fear and the hassle in your life and my life is really stress. Did you know there's three types of stress that we have? I'm not a doctor. I'm not qualified as a shrink or a psychiatrist or whatever. But I do know a few basic things about stress. The first type of stress is called critical stress, and that tends to be good for us. In fact, if you don't have critical stress, you're not going to live too long. This is the kind of stress where you're going, oh, like today, I got to get up and get dressed, wash my face, I want to go to church. There's a little bit of stress in getting ready, but it's good for you. It's the kind of stress you go, I need to get to the supermarket and get the food in. I need to cook food for the family. This is all what we call critical stress. It's small stuff and it's okay. It does you good. In fact, if you have nothing to live for, you're probably not going to live very long. We all need something to live for. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
Can I submit to you, the best one to live for is Jesus. There is never unemployment in the kingdom of God. I grew and I lived here at a time when I was in my 20s in the 1980s. There was a big recession. And I remember in our nearest neighbour, the United Kingdom, Maggie Thatcher was the Prime Minister there, and there were so many millions of young men, young women, unemployed. They called them Maggie's Millions. That's what they were called. But the dole queues were so long. It's so different to today. So many people were unemployed. And I remember an old pastor standing up in a church here in the city centre, and he said, "There is no unemployment in the kingdom of God. God always has something for you to do." Can I suggest to you, whoever you are, you've got a gift that's unique in you. God wants you to use it. You might say, "I'm too old." No, you're not. Or equally, "I'm too young." No, you're not. You should go down to the Tribe Teenage Church happening downstairs. My goodness, you see God using those 15-year-olds. Hallelujah. Critical stress is good. It's the everyday stuff. Here's another one. It's called compound stress. This is where there's a lot going on, but it won't break you usually. So I need to get the child to the dentist, and I have an infection in my ear. I got to go and see the doctor, and you know what? We got to get the washing machine repaired, and I have to do a bit of overtime, or I have to have my assignment into college on time, or whatever. This is kind of a lot of small things. I'm going to do a little illustration. Are you up for that, brothers?
Yes.
How about the sisters? You up for it?
Yes.
This went a little pear-shaped at the last service, but we'll say nothing about it. Okay, I have here in my hand an egg. This is an egg. If I put the egg in the middle of my hand and just squeeze on the egg, can you see it?
Yes.
It's not a hard-boiled egg, it's just a raw egg. So I'm squeezing it, and the pressure is evenly distributed all over my hand. But guess what? The egg isn't breaking. However, if I press one area really hard, then it would break. Now, some of you are looking at me and saying, "You filthy, dirty liar, you're only pretending." Who wants to come up and have a go? Who's going to come up and push the egg, but you got to push it evenly? Anyone? Nobody? Ira, come on. Someone be brave. Come up and try it. Yeah, come up. Who's that? Good man, Robert. Yeah, you can come up as well. Is that Yaroslav or Miroslav? We'll give you one. Okay, so we don't want you to put pressure on one bit, just all over it, okay? No, just one hand. Okay? Miroslav. Okay, so just face everyone. Tuvi. So just even pressure, not in one area. Is anything happening? No? Give them a round of applause. The eggs didn't break. Thank you, guys. However, just like what happened at the early service, we had two people come up. One person put the pressure all over, another person put it a little bit, very understandably, in one spot. With compound stress, it's spread out, but it doesn't break you. However, chronic stress, and this is a number of things, but if one issue really takes over, you know what happens? We break. You and I break. We break down. Because there's one issue that has totally taken over. Yeah, there might be other things going on, but you know what your trigger point is, don't you? Because we all have a trigger point. There's something that could happen that could really break us. And brothers and sisters, that's why we need Jesus. We can handle the critical stress because it's good for us. We can handle the compound stress because it's spread out. It's not just one thing. But there's that one thing that can really break us, and we crack or we break down. I love what Matthew Henry, the old Bible commentator, says when he's talking about what we just read. Jesus doesn't rebuke the disciples for waking him with their prayers, but for disturbing themselves with their own fears. You see, what happened to the disciples on the boat became the really dangerous kind of stress. The storm became so big in their heads, so big in their emotions. It began to break them down. "We're going to die." I mean, it doesn't get worse than that, does it? "I'm going to die. I'm going to die here and now. This is the end." That's the kind of thing that breaks your head, breaks your heart. And as Matthew Henry says here, When Jesus rebuked the disciples, it wasn't for them coming to pray to him. You can pray to God anywhere, anytime. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Hallelujah. But don't allow the fears to disturb you so that it gets bigger and bigger and it starts breaking you down. Because it's easy for men and women to break down. Because we're vulnerable. We're fragile. But when we have God in our lives, we're in a different space. It doesn't mean we don't have issues and we don't have problems, but now we have hope. Hallelujah. And these disciples thought they were going to die, but Jesus was in the boat with them, just like he's in the boat with you on your journey and with me. And so he was able to challenge them not to be afraid, have a bit more faith, and then he rebuked the storm. And suddenly, if you read on, the storm was gone, and one of the hidden miracles in the Bible, suddenly they came right to the shores of Gadara. It's like, even though there was a terrible attack, and I speak to someone here, you're in a situation where there's a terrible attack. What happened? A great blessing. God turned the curse into a blessing. Here's the question you and I need to ask. Is this sticky thought, is it true? What's your sticky thought or your sticky feeling today? I'm going to put one thought in my head. I've got a sticky thought and I've got a sticky feeling. Could be two different things. Is it true or is it a lie? Can I submit to you? 9 times out of 10, I think it's a lie. I can remember when I was 24, 25, and we were up in the north of Ireland at a conference, and I had this growth in my hand, and it was getting bigger and bigger. And I remember thinking in my head, it must be cancer. I'm probably going to die. I never went to the doctor, you know, but just said, it's cancer. And I'm only newly married. And all these scenarios were playing out in my head. I remember staying in a Christian's house in Strabane, County Tyrone. I remember going to bed that night and someone said it was, I can't remember what day it was like Easter. I remember thinking, maybe it's my last Easter. See how the devil was stealing my peace? And if it wasn't for the fact that I was a Christian, the next night we went to a meeting in a hotel, a conference, and there was a guy preaching there. And I remember he was preaching, and in my head, I'm still carrying, I never even said it to Denise, I think I've got cancer. I think this could be coming to the end. Never had any kids, I never know grandkids, I never know anything. I remember going to the meeting, you might think he's nutty, maybe I am, but I remember going to this meeting, and the preacher was there, and we were worshipping, and he stood up and he said, there's people here, and there's like a tingling fire sensation in your hands. If that's you, would you lift up your hand? I certainly felt it. I put up my hand. And he said, would you come up to the top? The Holy Spirit wants to do something. I thought it was just me, but there were hundreds going up to the top. We all felt it. And do you know what happened? He lifted up his hand to pray. Every one of us collapsed on the ground. Just went under the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget it. God can do mighty things. Here's the best part of the story. After the meeting was over, the lump was gone. Sorry, it was right here, big huge lump, growing and growing. It literally disappeared. I'm sure it wasn't cancer, but I thought it was. Whatever it was gone. I know I was healed. And I know that that sticky thought in my head needed the power of the Holy Spirit to set me free. That emotion, is it still there? It's gone. That emotion that I thought I wouldn't live long enough to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, it was a lie. Brothers and sisters, ask yourself here and now. I know there's evidence that points to it, but spiritually, you're spiritual people. You wouldn't have given the time to come here if you weren't a spiritual person. Just examine it. Do you think God has something more for you? I'm not saying Christians don't die or anything like that. But I just know, 9 times out of 10, it's a lie. It's a lie. Whatever it is, will my child ever make it? Will my marriage make it? Will I get on in this career? Whatever it is this true Let me quote Philippians 4, 8 and 9. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is pure, whatever is true, whatever is noble, right, admirable, if it's excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Don't think about the lie. Think about what is true. What is true about you? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what the Bible says. You might say, but you, who am I? You're a son or a daughter of the King. Claim your identity. Our confidence is not in our good looks or our talents or our money or our bodies or whatever. Our confidence is in Him. Hallelujah. You don't have to spend all your money on Botox. Hey! Okay. We wanna, I don't need to get a wig. God loves me as I am. Hallelujah. There is a liberty and a freedom in knowing that. Whatever you're thinking, sticky thoughts today, we're going to pray against any sticky thought or sticky feeling that's robbing your peace. Because you know what? It's not the truth. What God says is true. You're made in the image of God. That's our identity. Can the band come up? Can we stand, brothers and sisters? These eggs were meant to be Denise's breakfast this morning, but no. There was no fried eggs in our house, no scrambled eggs at all. But we feast at the Lord's table. We'll say amen. Hallelujah. We're going to pray very simply. We're going to sing the song we sang earlier, Open the Eyes of My Heart. The disciples couldn't open their eyes to the spiritual reality. We're going to pray that you and I will open the eyes to the spiritual reality around us, and that God will help you and help me to believe the truth and not have sticky thoughts and feelings that will steal our peace and our joy. Are we ready to sing? Open the eyes of my heart, and then we're going to pray. John.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
That you're shaking, you just can't get rid of it. Today's the day, we're going to leave it, and you can walk out that door, leaving it here in Grace Christian Church on the altar, so that it doesn't steal your peace and your confidence in what God wants to do in your life. Now, there may be a lot of people here who don't have that, but I think some of us do. If you've got a thought that's sticking, or a feeling, would you lift up your hands and own it? Because there is a blessing in honesty, in vulnerability. Praise God. We're going to sing the chorus of this song again, but I want you to leave your seat and come up at the top. We want to bring it before God, and we want to give you the opportunity to leave it here at the altar. Let's leave our seats if you put your hands up, John.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Yeah.
just move forward a bit, let the guys down in the aisles have a bit of room to come up. Can we lift our hands and put that thought or that emotion? Very often it's a person. Sometimes it's a temptation. But we, brothers, sisters, you gotta leave here without it. Don't let that shadow follow you into the rest of the day and the night. Are we ready to pray? Heavenly Father, we put in our hands that sticky thought, that sticky feeling, that thing that drags us down. And we say today, O God, we don't want the thief to steal anymore from our mental health, from our emotional health, our physical health, and our spiritual health. So at the altar, as it were, here today, we hand over that thought, that temptation, that emotion that is dragging us down, and we leave it here in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I want you to picture in your mind offloading it. Offloading it. I'm going to ask you to do something a little embarrassing, but we're all going to do it together. Dara opened the meeting by shaking our feet, shaking the dust. Can I get you to shake your hands? Like you're shaking it off. That's it. Because you're going to remember this tonight. Whatever way you want to do it. You've shaken it off. So I'm going to pray now. You've done it. Thank you, brothers and sisters. I pray in its place. The true thinking. Whatever is true. Whatever is noble. Whatever is of good report and praiseworthy. Think of those things. I pray the good thoughts will come into your head now. And the good emotions would come into your heart, and that you would leave here stronger and more at peace. God is saying to some people here, you're the victim of identity theft. It's like the evil one is whispering in your ear saying, you're not really a Christian. You're not really a strong man. You're not really a good woman. And we've got to stop the lies, because the more you listen, the more you start walking in the lie. So can you put a hand on your head and a hand on your heart, brothers and sisters? Some of us are here with thoughts, some of us are here with emotions. And so into every thought, we declare, we are the children of God. Can you say that with me? We're going to say it together. And we're going to say, I am a child of God. That's what we're going to declare. Because you got to say that to yourself, to the devil, and most importantly to the Lord. At the count of three, I am a child of God. 1, 2, 3. I am a child of God. Let's say it even louder. 1, 2, 3. I am a child of God. And with your hand over your heart, can you declare this? And we're going to get you to declare it because it's biblical. God loves me. Do you believe that? Do you believe he loves you? Because if that really sinks in, you will have a confidence when you walk into every room, because you will feel and know his love surrounding you. So with your hand on your heart, we're going to declare, God loves me. 1, 2, 3.
God loves me.
That's really good. Let's do it one more time, but a little bit more with feeling. 1, 2, 3.
God loves me.
So you are a son or a daughter of the living God. You walk with a confidence. I pray that tonight, not just those we prayed for earlier, but tonight, everyone here, everyone would sleep deeply. And in your sleep, you would dream. You would have a dream from God. You would dream of heavenly things. And I pray in work, in school, in college, working for the family, I pray that the presence of God would be with you so that you would sense it. In the bedroom, in the kitchen, in the car, in the sitting room, in school, in work, wherever you go, in Jesus' name, and no sticking thought and no sticky feeling will rob you of your future this week. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And one more time, God's people said,
amen.